Kingfisher. Three epigraphs. Were beasts to draw semblances of the gods, horses would them like to horses sketch, to oxen, oxen. Clement of Alexandria. Not one sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it, but the sparrow still falls. Mary Doria Russell. With infinite complacency, men went to and fro over this globe about their little affairs. It is possible that the infusoria under the microscope do the same. Yet across the gulf of space, minds that are to our minds as ours are to those of the beasts that perish, intellects vast and cool and unsympathetic regarded this earth. H.G. Wells. The kingfisher god has his stone-black eye out for the shadowy shape in the slough. No fingerling surfaces but that he sees. The fire that powers his wings fans a breeze from bank to bank, ripples bands of blue on a blue ground, a throat of white cloud. In his likeness, his flock, two of them here, hover strenuously, then dive like a thrown stone. The window of water, pierced, shatters. They rise, fry in beak, and launch in air with only the sound of falling droplets toward a perch safe in the willows, perhaps a mate. This is their life, oblivious to the lumbering heron's flight, the brookside cafe, roar of the heavy machinery of roadwork. I lie, of course, not believing in deific kingfishers, and they, to be honest, have no need of one. The trout and ripple, where they are, nest built by instinct, days bright or dark, revealing dinner or not in the weedy creek. But if need they had, dreaming one of their own, who brings the nooksack dace, who allows the accommodating banks adjoin the hunting ground, who creates the small white eggs that fill the earthen nest, would he not be blue and quick, sharp-eyed and fierce, at home in sky and water and tree and bank, like them? That old cartoon of goldfish in a bowl. Okay, if there's no god who changes the water. Their god must be no fish. But what? Well, just a joke. But who changes our water? Beyond the great bowl of sky, out of our element, perhaps a pedestrian something rotates the galaxies. We are not in its image, nor it in ours. It does not see sparrows fall or minnows twitch, or choose between who feeds or dies in nests felled by storm or flood. Implacable, impartial, spinning away worlds like pebbles down an endless street. Why should we be in his image? Let alone why not hers? Why would he not be a belted kingfisher, great blue heron, pea-mouth minnow, bunchberry, cranefly, planarian? If we allow that God is all, how do we know it's we who are the chosen imago? Perhaps we're merely incidental to the kingfisher, poised above the fish, or the fish, unwitting of the bolt of blue about to stab and pluck him from this life into another realm altogether. Why would such a god, of whatever phylum, bother? The ridiculous intricacies of celestial motion, the food chain, the mere variety of finches, the convolutions by which we, a whole other can of worms, perceive the perturbations of subatomic bits which we call white, or roar, or kingfisher. If we were made in his image, would we really continue our endless, tedious effort to simplify and clarify, and, by the way, murder each other? No, we would create things that were as complicated as possible, with uncountable parts and unimaginable connections, and let the results sort themselves out without interference, like grains of sand on the ocean floor, or photons in a ray of light, or the blurred wing beats of a belted kingfisher's hovering flight.